Let's change the look when you look out that back door. Visiting with Tiffany Halperin, design principal of the Urban Culture Design Project. Tell us a little bit about the Urban Culture Design Project, your firm.
Yes. So we are a small firm that has been practicing in Arizona. I've been in business for almost 7 years now on my own, but I have 20 years of experience specifically in urban design and landscape architecture. And our firm really has set out to focus on projects, I like to call them interventions, that contribute ultimately to the experience of the public realm for pedestrians and bicycle activity and individuals in general.
When I go to your website, urbanculturedesign.com, I see a lot of projects that tend into the commercial environment. Do y'all do residential?
So historically, I have not done a lot of residential work, though more recently, I have taken on a couple of projects that are located in these walkable corridor networks, and they've been really fun to sort of work with clients that see their property really as a purchase into a community, and how do you access that community really from all sides.
Tiffany got my attention when she placed in an international contest that was held right here in Phoenix by the Phoenix chapter of the American Institute of Architects, the AIA local chapter, wanted to create some visual impact for visitors to remember when they hit Phoenix, and you use the Space Needle in Seattle as an example. You see that skyline, and you know you're looking at Seattle. Mm-hmm. What can we do here in Phoenix that could create that impression? Your entry into that contest is, let's repurpose our alleys.
One texter wants to know what to do about their alley. They're on an island in Maricopa County. It has completely dirt. And apparently some people know of it as a not maybe well-watched area and use it for a personal dump site.
Oh.
Yep. So I don't know. I haven't personally spoke with Maricopa County, so I don't know exactly their protocol. For example, I can't give you a phone number. But I do know by talking to other municipalities that if you and your neighbors are able to get together, just even just a few of you, and you have a common vision for maybe what you want to do with your alleyway, that gives the municipality, in this case the county, some ammunition to really take that approach to your alleyway. So what do I mean by that? Well, what I've learned is if you and your neighbors all get together and say, I want to close the alley, then, and the county also wants to close the alley, then that happens. Or if you say, I want to clean it up or do something else with it, then they're able to direct funds that way. But it usually takes more than just one voice to make that happen.
On one of our rental properties, it has an alley.
Yes.
And it was an alley that generally with the neighbors is kept pretty clean. But it was just raw dirt. And as a builder, I'm forced to put in a dirt-free driveway for every home I build. You cannot just have raw dirt, decomposed granite, pavers, concrete, something. So I wrote a letter to the city, and I said, if I have to put in dirt, dust-free driveways, why doesn't the city have to maintain dust-free alleys? And about 2 months later, they came in and they laid pea gravel over the
whole
area. It's so much nicer when those trucks roll down. It's not this cloud of dust following that truck.
That's excellent. And so I think, you know, I think we fail to sometimes recognize the power of our voice within our neighborhoods. And again, if your letter did it, but, you know, if you're not able to do it just with your own letter, you get a couple of you together and then the city is able to say, okay, we can really pay attention to this. They, you know, they are also, they have to validate and verify their actions as well when they And I'm talking about staff and so on. So they have to have a reason to go out and spend money or...
So in your vision, we're repurposing all of these alleys.
Yes.
And in your mind, we're thinking that there's a chance that whoever owns that alley, whether it be the county or the city, actually re-gifts it back to the homeowners. Now, are back walls coming down and green trails being planted and put in here, and who maintains that at that point?
Right. So it would be maybe worthwhile just to talk about what the concept is. And
okay.
The concept is here we've got these alleyways in the city of Phoenix. We know that the city of Phoenix has this idea that whenever possible, they will move all of the services from the alleyways to the street. And has been a conversation that I've been flopping around in my head for about 15 years, because if you move the services to the street, your street experience really changes. And for some neighborhoods, that's okay. Maybe they were designed that way. Maybe they also don't have alleys. But for other neighborhoods, the alleys are part of the integral design of how that neighborhood functions.
We do a fair amount of remodeling in the historic districts of Phoenix.
Right.
And the alleys are narrow, but so are the streets.
The streets
and
are
we
great.
We quit using the alleys for utilities and cleanup and recycle pickup and trash pickup, and we start moving those to the curb.
Right.
How do those trucks get through all the cars that are parked on those narrow streets?
Correct. So an example I always use is my home is in the historic neighborhood of Garfield.
Okay.
And that's the specific street I'm on. The way the lots are laid out, people usually have at least one car parked on the street. So there's
yes.
one drive
yes.
aisle.
Yes.
And I'm sure other people have been to other cities, but on my street, one person goes down the drive aisle. You need to pull over and let people go by if you're going the opposite direction. So in this case, what happens is the trash vehicle really has to pick up trash from the center of the street. And
without hitting any of these parked cars.
Without hitting the parked cars. However, the city guidelines say that the vehicle, the trash collection vehicle or recycling vehicle, is allowed to drive along the curb. So if you have something like a street tree that might cover, the branch might
cover the
parked car, that if the car's not there, then the vehicle and the maintenance is allowed to come and sort of lob off. So you have, the branch. So basically you would have like half of a street tree.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that seems like in these kinds of neighborhoods, why wouldn't you just keep your services active in the alley? But what if that doesn't happen? That's what this competition supposes. What if that doesn't happen? And now we've got a network of all the services, all the circulation is supposed to happen on the street. And what do we do with these alleyways? Well, a lot of alleys are in older neighborhoods. Some of these neighborhoods don't have it's not like the highest economic of the highest economic scales. And do people really prioritize rebuilding their backyard fence if the neighborhood's abandoned and given
right.
to the property owner?
Right.
Probably not, right?
Okay.
Like maybe you want to go on vacation. Maybe you want to buy your kids' school clothes. I don't know. But maybe you're not buying or rebuilding your back fence. So project says is, no, let's keep all of our existing public alleyways as public spaces,
okay.
and let's make them an asset. And you could do that by keeping services in them, but the competition supposes we abandon, that the city has abandoned all services, and now these places are unprogrammed. And our competition comes in and says, okay, let's program them to be bicycle and specifically pedestrian corridors. And you go through and you add shade. So maybe there's trees, there's vegetation, there's accent pavement. There could even be structural shade. You would have to sort of go, and we did alley by alley, looking at are there overhead power lines, et cetera. But really what could go in there? And then when you do that, now you're asking the homeowner to address the alley, because the alley now becomes an asset. And the way I describe that is if you live along a waterway, a river, a canal, a wash in Arizona, sometimes your property comes with a view fence if you're along a golf course, because
yes, sure.
there's this big asset right there. Well, why can't our alleys be an asset?
What a great concept.
Yeah, why can't they be something exciting where you run out the back gate and you could play football, or you could sit, or you could sit in your backyard and watch people walk to and from the grocery store or the corner store. It's a way to walk your dog. So why not view them as assets, treat them as assets, and make them these corridors? And there's 100 answers of how to really do that. In our project, we made them these pedestrian corridors that linked the local community to the local business. It was sort of like this micro, an application for the like micro economy. So an example.
I mean, I'm thinking Garfield District. I'm thinking you're near downtown. You've got light rail. You've got Hance Park. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you're now interconnecting all these residential neighborhoods.
Right.
Via these transport.
Right. And that's what
corridors that once were just overgrown, dirty alleys.
Correct. So in the case of Garfield, so our project, the competition project, it used Garfield Historic District and Evans Churchill and Roosevelt Row as an example of how the alley connections could work. It picked a residential house in the Garfield District and showed how the alley, how you could use alleys to go all the way through the Garfield District. You would hit the Garfield Elementary School and, oh, by the way, past Rito's Mexican Food. Take the alley up, and there Garfield is seeing it's a neighborhood core. We'll have some restaurants in it that are in construction right now, including like the Welcome Diner, et cetera. So the alley takes you past there, and then you hit 7th Street, which you have to cross. It's pretty scary.
Yeah.
So you cross 7th Street, but you get back into an alley again, and you're able to take the alley to the Bioscience High School, then take alleys north to Roosevelt Row, which is that big arts corridor, and then take alleys north all the way to Hance Park. So the majority of your ride, other than where you're crossing intersections, you do not interface with cars at all. And you get this sort of particular enhanced traveling experience, and also get to stop by all of the stores and schools in the area.
What a great concept to be not only talking about, but to actually have some design. You've actually got it on pen and paper. Won a contest, an international contest. I just want to congratulate you again. It's Tiffany Halperin, design principal of the Urban Culture Design Project. If you want to see some of her work, go to urbanculturedesign.com and click on the news tab, and that's actually where she highlights her entry into the contest.
Thank you.
Tiffany, thanks so much for coming. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
How about that, buddy? Repurposing the alleys. I mean, I see concrete block walls coming down. I mean, we've been building concrete block walls here since the 50s. You know, I go to Julia's neighborhood, my daughter, in Minneapolis. There's no block walls. There's no backyard walls. And all the community pedestrian alleys and bicycle paths just weave their way through everybody's backyard. And you're constantly, hey, everybody. And the other thing it does, when you put a dog into a backyard and surround it by a block wall, it barks at every single thing that walks by. When you break those walls down and give them the visibility to see, all that yapping stops, or a lot of it stops. Now that's creating an asset out on an alley.